when you walk up to a scene and you hold up the camera, you're going to know whether that is a horizontal or a vertical shot. It's just going to happen as you put it up to your eye. So if you put it up to your eye and it's a horizontal image, great. You know, shoot the hell out of that. But then take a few more vertically and try to create a great image from it vertically. Because that's going to break you from this is how I do this, this is how I do that. But it pushes you to think outside of that norm.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for this episode of The DINFOS Way, a podcast developed and produced at the Defense Information School. This program is dedicated to developing and showcasing the skills of military communicators, public affairs professionals, and industry experts from all over the world. I'm your host, Jack Rouse. I'm a former Navy and civilian journalist, and I'm a current training specialist here at DINFOS. On this episode of The DINFOS Way, we sit down with Johnny Bavera, a retired Navy photojournalist who does freelance and independent work in D.C. He's also in the DINFOS Hall of Fame, and he's the founder of the D.C. Shoot-Off. That's an all-volunteer effort, still and video-visual media workshop for military and civil service communicators designed to advance their skills and improve their storytelling techniques in a unique and interesting way. That's what we're here to talk about today. Johnny, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you coming in.
Well, this is quite an honor to be here, and I thank you very much for the invitation.
Really, you are a legend in our career field. I know just this morning, knowing you were coming in, I spoke to several instructors here who had nothing but glowing things to say about you. You're a DINFOS Hall of Famer, just a legend in the career field. So we're really happy to have you. Thanks again.
Well, I don't know how to answer to that kind of an accolade, but it's just nice to have developed quite a relationship with some really, really great people along the way up into my career. And you know, the program that we're going to talk about today has a lot to do with keeping us all together in that way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we are such a small community in the grand scheme of things, and it's important that we all keep up our skills, we all network and stay together. The DC Shoot-Off is such a cool way to do that, and also put more tools in the toolbox for communicators. And it's really awesome. So I'm excited to talk about it. But before we get there, just for anybody who doesn't know you, can you give us a brief recap of your career, kind of how you got here today, and what your background is?
Okay, well, let's go back to when all I had were dreams and low expectations of what I was going to accomplish in life. It just started out as a musician and quickly realized that I wasn't going to make it as a musician. I enjoyed playing, but there were other things that I knew I could do. I became a photographer. I was a surfer, and I was a competitive surfer, and I became a team photographer for a couple of the surf shops down in Pensacola, Florida. But along the way, I started taking photography classes, right? And still at that point, I had no real idea what the power of this camera was able to do until, you know, I developed some mentors. And, you know, the first one was my first photo teacher, who is a mentor to many today. And because of that, he was able to make me cross the line from just being a picture taker to a storyteller. And from that point forward, it was like, wow, what is this camera? It's a remarkable tool. You know, it's what, quoting some great photographers in the past, it's a key to the kingdom, and I love every aspect of that kingdom.
That's awesome. You know, I have talked to tons of super talented people on this show, and the concept of storytelling is something that resonates and is incredibly important with every amazing professional that I talk to. It's not just the image, it's what you're trying to say with it.
Right.
So I love hearing you say that. How did you get into the DINFOS Hall of Fame? What specific military accolades brought you into that?
Ooh, wow, that's a good question. How did I get in there? I can only honor that by, you know, that the people that put me in, and I am extremely thankful. I'm extremely blessed by that gesture because I don't think anything like that about myself. It's just that I'm just happy to have had that kind of influence with, you know, with so many. And And that's one of the things that, you know, we do with the program is that we bridge people. You know, when we started this, it was a thought. And, you know, the recently late, great Ken Hackman and I would be on the phone for hours talking this thing out. What is it that we can do to our troops that's going to benefit them? You know, because we look back on our past, on how we got to where we were. You know, we didn't do it alone. And we wanted to have something that was ours, that we could do for our people. And it's going to teach them, and it's going to network them. It's going to be a community, and that's what it became. And it's not just a community for the military folks. We also brought in the civil service folks as we worked side by side with them. But then this other bridge of having our, you know, civilian journalists come with us and help us out on this thing too. That became a bridge.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest advantage I saw to that, you know, when I was still in, was better to have a relationship with your counterparts, you know, from the civilian sector, because what I learned being, you know, in the forefront, forward deployed, is that when I'm out there and I'm doing the job, and then I meet up with civilian photographers and to know them, a few of them already, really, one, it breaks the wall down of trust, you know, because if you know somebody, you're going to work with them and they're going to work with you, and you get things done quicker that way out there. And there's that, you know, that safety feature of camaraderie. You know, we're all doing the same job, and we need to do it much better, but we need to do it in a way that's going to benefit everyone.
Yeah.
So bridging that gap and bringing them in, and then bringing our vendors in. You know, they loved it. You know, it was like, this is a program for our military. And for them to be able to reach out and, you know, provide hands-on tools to what they could be playing with, or what they could order for the shop, it's huge.
Yeah. So tell me, for people who don't know about the DC shoot-off, we know from just this brief amount of communication that it's designed for those military communicators to improve their skills. So how do you go about that? Tell me kind of what the whole process is, what the shoot-off looks like, kind of start to finish, you know, like summarization if you can.
So Ken Hackman and I went, one of the discussions we had was, when should we hold this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And in 2005, we thought about holding it in the fall, and we came up with these dates. And it was just going to be a, you know, just a quick little thing, you know, just to see how it would work. But the craziest thing happened. A hurricane came, and we had to postpone that date. So we thought about it again. And, you know, between he and I, we're like, well, you know, Ken, you know, and Chip and a few others, you know, they're usually in town during the former military videographer, photographer, and Grassman of the Year program. You know, a lot of people come into town. They come here at Defense Information School and watch the judging. And they usually will hold it at the first week of that week. And our thought was, well, what if we hold our workshop on the back end of that week and make these people just stay a few more days longer and actually make a week of it?
Yeah.
And so that's how that, you know, the first program started as far as when we were going to do it. And then it was a question, well, what are we going to do? Well, let's do portfolio reviews. Okay, that's one. And we're going to have a few, you know, few speakers on Friday. And then we're going to have this competition. It's going to be a 24-hour shoot-off competition. We were going to pick a subject, one subject, and that's going to be the theme. One theme with infinite possibilities. That's our mantra. And when we did it, we held it first at the former Naval Media Center in Anacostia. And, you know, we were using office spaces, and the Jerry Pulley Theater was, you know, the main venue area. And we held it there for a couple of years, and then we realized that, man, this program is a lot bigger than we ever thought it could become. We needed bigger venues. So we looked around, and I ran into Rear Admiral Stephen Petropoli, who was the former executive director of the Navy League. And so I talked to him, and he said, well, we've got this great space. And that's how we got brought in there. And we're actually coming back to the Navy League building on this time around after, you know, losing the space because of COVID. But the program is portfolio reviews for a few hours, and the next day speakers and training, you know, little breakout sessions, workshops. And then we pick a subject, and then it turns into a shoot-off, which means we have all these volunteers from, you know, our military icons to civilian people coming in, and veterans come in, and they become editor mentors. And we break everybody off into teams so that each photographer will have an editor. So they're going to discuss what they're going to shoot, and they're going to go out and do it. And the whole time they're getting critiqued and reviewed on how to make that shot better to create a full story between 3 to 5 images. So the next day, the images are turned in. We get it into a hopper. We go straight to judging. So we get 3 professional volunteers. You know, these guys could be from National Geographic or Time Magazine, one of the news agencies, the best of the best. And they judge and they critique, and everybody learns. And I'm talking everybody. I'm not just saying the students, staffers learn. We all learn. We provide and give tools, information for them to learn from. But guess what? Because of where they're at and their generation, they're learning all this new stuff and they're sharing it back with us. It keeps us in the loop.
God, that's so valuable. You know, as content creators and as communicators, we have to stay current with trends and with technology and with things that are happening in the world. There's no more valuable way to do that than by networking other people who are doing the same thing. And it's you brought up something that was really important there in the beginning, which was that there are people there at the shoot-off that are designed to act as mentors. And it's so very important to have a mentor or to have someone that will help you in your career field. That was something that was very helpful to me. Can you talk a little bit more about how the DC shoot-off is helpful with connecting mentors with subjects?
So the way we view ourselves is that everybody that's helping in the program, whether your staff, your faculty, even our vendor support people, we're all mentors. You know, and it's up to the students to gravitate to somebody that they feel safe with and can share their concerns on, you know, how do I get better at this? You know, what is it that I need to do to continue to move forward? And they develop lifelong relationships, and that's what it's about.
Yeah, no, 100%. So during the shoot-off, we have instructors here who act as mentors. You have people from the civilian world who act as mentors. And as you said, they could come from wide varieties of walks of life. I know you folks have had people from the National Geographic and Time Magazine, as you said, and presumably other larger organizations as well, all the way down to those individual communicators who are exceptional storytellers and really great at what they do. The whole program, the whole shoot-off is how many days?
So between the stills and video, the still photography side, we've scrunched it down to 2.25 days.
Wow.
So it's Thursday evening for portfolio reviews for a few hours and presentations on Friday, straight to the shoot-off on Saturday. And we usually end that by 10. The video, that's a totally different beast. That's a team-based program. So, you know, people come in, the staff looks at their background, and they create 2 or 3-man teams that these are people that don't know each other. You know, one of the things about that is the team-building aspect of what you have to do to be, you know, to create positive programs for why you're doing what you're doing. And to do that, you got to work. You got to work with each other. And, you know, part of what we do is, like, we build up on that. So we give the video side of the house probably another 24 hours.
Okay. And how long do the photographers have?
Well, the photographers have to shoot, I think, from Friday night all the way up until deadline.
Wow, okay.
So editing, you got to count editing in there. So a lot of the video stuff, man, you know, it's like hot off the press Sunday morning before we have to start judging it.
Premieres overheating on the laptop.
Yes.
So what kind of subjects are you guys choosing? Like, what are the subjects been in the past that they're creating content about?
We have created this really neat, fun thing where we bring in a whiteboard, you know, bring it in there on Thursday, and Thursday, Friday, everybody who has a one-word idea can write it on that whiteboard.
Cool.
Right? So before we pick it, you know, we get staff to look over all the subjects that are up there, and we pick five that would be a visual story. Write it on a piece of paper, and we throw it in the hat, and the, you know, when the keynote speaker finishes his speech, he gets the honor of pulling what that subject's going to be. So we've had, you know, subjects from, you know, beauty, space, and Lord hope we don't ever get something like juxtaposition again. that was one. And that was before we had the staff pick, you know, which subjects. So the great thing about the program is that it's all volunteer. And because of that, we're able to turn what we do on a dime. You know, what we want to do is keep up with what the students need. You know, and that's a real challenge. So we keep an open ear to what's happening and what the needs of our active duty folks are.
Does that feedback change the course over the years? Have you guys changed and adapted?
It will change a little bit of the methodology in the sense of, you know, what should the presenters be forecasting? You know, how should they set up their presentation so it does match the needs of the students? I mean, that's hit or miss with us, you know, but that's part of the challenge. It's like, you know, we have to keep up with what's going on with them so that we can actually provide the right sources that they're going to need from us, from the experience level, from the season level. It's like, yeah, we've been there. Times have changed, tools have changed, but the language of how we deliver stays the same. So we got to keep up with that.
You mentioned that you also have vendors and people who are up to speed with current technology that bring products and things for the folks that are participating to use. What kind of examples can you give me on that? What kind of cool stuff are they bringing out there that we can goof around with?
You know, we're small in workshops, so we bring in one primary camera vendor, and we had Nikon for a good over a decade. And then Canon took over from that point. What they do is they come in with, you know, first they ask us, well, what kind of gear do you think the students will need? You know, because they're not all going to have everything. But this is a great opportunity for them to, like, actually for a couple of days have whatever it is that they need. I mean, they will bring it, you know, the lenses and the bodies, all that stuff. And even some specialty gear they'll bring. So there's that. And when they can, and it's a hard thing because we're competing with other workshops and events, especially sporting events, where sometimes they'll bring in what we call check and clean techs that will come in and clean the camera gears that you do have on you, you know, clean the chips and dust out the lenses and make sure everything is nice and operational and no spots on that image file.
Perfect. That's super helpful too. I mean, you can bring all the sliders and lenses you want, yeah. But if you got a dust spot, again, the difference between amateur and professional. Very cool. What kind of stories have you seen produced from this? Like, is there any examples you can give me as something that particularly stood out or something that especially resonated?
I would say commitment was a word. And the reason why I remember that is because I had a mishap with, let me explain something about how the program works on Who's Learning. It's got three different categories, you know, named after three of our military photography icons. One's called the Hackman Challenge, named after Ken Hackman. And the group in that are, those are like to general photographers, right? They're professional. They've been in, or they may have just gotten out of school. So they are shooting and competing for their category. And then the next one up is actually for our seniors, our staffers, and anybody who is in the upper echelon as a professional. Well, we have a category that you can actually participate and compete in too. And that's called the Egner Cup, named after Russ Egner. And what we love about that is it allows the young ones to see what the older ones are doing And, you know, it's like a lot of them realize, hey, I'm not too far off from where this guy's putting out. Or sometimes some of them actually exceed and blow us away, you know. And then there's a third category called the online, shoot off online folks. And this is, you know, we're streaming live globally. So and there are students who are competing online on this program. So when that subject matter is pulled and the green light goes on, they are part of it too. I mean, we have had students forward deployed in the Mideast compete in this thing. We have had people from like Japan, you know, far corners of the globe. We have had students from forward deployed ships on the Pacific Ocean and Indian Ocean compete in this thing. And actually had one actually do really well and win. So it's a global thing. It's a, you know, three-tier thing. And what we also add one final note where we have one more additional competition prize, which is when we add everyone's images all in one pile. And all those images that everybody has shot in every category, we had to pick the one number one best image. Wow. That says whatever that subject is.
How hard is that?
It's actually pretty easy when you start throwing images out because it's just flashing up there. And the ones that resonate, you keep that until it dwindles down to one. And we named that the Chip Shot after Chip Mowry. But what it does is for the people that have these images, that created these images, they bring that back.
Yeah. For sure.
And they share that stuff. You know, it's really one of the really great things that, you know, thrilled many of us was when, in one workshop in the general category, one of the ladies who won first place in that was, she was in that transition period when the Navy had consolidated a lot of the different skill sets into being mass communication specialists. Well, she was one of those. And she came from the draftsman side of the house. And she had only had a camera in her hand for 6 months. But she had a really great mentor, and she took it to heart. I mean, she went out there, and she just shot her butt off. And she won. You know, she beat everybody in that quarter. And she even shocked herself. But you know, it's that kind of thing is what makes what we do really, really exciting to witness. And we hope to continue to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those very interesting things where you're given a subject, you're given a topic, you're surrounded by extremely creative, amazing professionals, and you've got a very short period of time to do it. And people don't realize that's the whole core of our career field, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, part of that, you know, the planning discussion when we were starting out, you know, like, do we give these guys a few days and, you know, pick a subject early, a week, you know, or what? And like, no. You know, my experience being a freelance photojournalist, and I'll just be sitting in the office and I'll get a phone call from somebody, you know, it could be the Post or one of the wire services. And they're like, hey, you know, this thing's going down and you need to bring back a picture. And what they mean by that is you need to bring back a story, whether it's one image or several images. So what one has to do when they're a photographer is to motivate yourself to come up with that picture. You have to conceptualize what that image could possibly be. So from, you know, the phone call to the site, your mind is racing the whole time. You only have minutes, maybe a few hours, you know. If you're lucky, you may have a day, but the whole time you're preconceptualizing, what is the story I'm about to do, you know? And if I have time, do I have time to reach out there and get some local information on what's going to happen? What's, you know, the location, the lighting, you know, the time of day, all that stuff. All that stuff is real-time stuff that these guys are learning from the shoot-off the way it's created.
And what feedback do you get from the students? I mean, obviously, they go on to do some pretty amazing things thanks to what they learned at the shoot-off. What do they tell you about that?
They come to me, you know, years later, and I know a lot of us experience this where, you know, they convey that moment that maybe we had a one-on-one, and they tell me, hey, this is what I was able to do from that point. And it's, yeah, I get very choked up about that, you know, when I have those moments with the students. But how much has it changed them along the way? Well, the biggest thing that they always bring back is the networking and community that they've become involved in, because, you know, for a lot of them, there was no real visual future on where is this camera and this skill set going to take me. But being involved in the program, the shoot-off program, you know, it exposes them to everyone. You know, ones that have incredible history, you know, ones that have incredible technical knowledge, and they get to know everybody, and that's what they walk away with.
Yeah. Give me some specific details for anybody who is interested either in volunteering or attending, because I know this is an episode that is slightly time sensitive and that it's coming up soon. So just in case anybody's interested in this year or doing it in the future, how do you volunteer? How do you sign up? Where do you go?
Well, we never turn down volunteers.
Love that.
And if you're wondering what is it that you can do, well, just give us a call. Let's find that out, you know. One of the things that I learned that I need to get back on the horse on is asking for volunteers. You know, I had a guy recently that we just added on that should have been a volunteer a long time ago, but he thought that he needed some kind of validating letter. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just kind of went about where he started asking questions about, yeah, you know, I've been watching you guys do this for a while, but you've never asked me. And I'm like, oh my God, I should have asked you, you know? It's like, you know, so I want people to know that, hey, if you want to be a part of this program, man, you are more than welcome. I'm sure there's something in your tool bag that can help something or help move the program forward. But even if you're just a body to come in and help us move chairs and tables around, man, we appreciate that very, very much.
Cool. And how do students sign up for the program? Is there a website or a place they can
go? Yes. Just go to shootoff.org. So shootoff.org. Yeah. You can reach out that way.
And then what is the specific time frame that you guys, is it the same week every year or is it the same day?
Well, it changes.
Okay.
It depends on location. A lot of that has to do with, venue availability, you know.
Yeah.
So we have to figure out, what are our prospective dates that we could hold the program. Usually in March is when we do the still photography. And then video is end of summer, early fall time frame.
And in 2026 specifically, which one's coming? What's the dates?
Okay, so the next workshop is going to be at the end of March.
Cool.
So March 26th through the 28th.
Very awesome.
Coming up.
I'm really excited to find out what the subject is this year.
Oh, call in and throw in a few words.
I bet you are too. Yeah. That's really
cool. It's what's really funny about that program is that when we pick that subject, and it's usually a word you look at and go, oh, that's going to be easy. You know? It's like, oh, I can do that. And then when they, you know, about half an hour later, after they've like talked to a few people and thought about what they're going to do, they realize, oh, it's not as easy as I thought.
I mean, when you said juxtaposition, I could think of some ways to make that very interesting right off the top of my head, but with the added time crunch and with a million professionals standing around looking at me waiting to come up with a good idea, I don't know, man.
I mean, I had to like look up the dictionary and get a really good definition of juxtaposition just so that I can like relate it to the students. But we're not going to do that again. You know, let's keep it KISS, you know, keep it simple.
Yep.
And because, that alone is hard enough when you have to try to make it visually. So,
yeah. You know, we've talked a lot about the shoot-off, but it's a luxury to have you here sitting across from me. It's always a luxury to have a Hall of Famer here. Can you give us some of your tips and tricks and best practices and things that new students and new communicators or anybody who wants to learn more about storytelling could add to their toolbox?
Sure. So the most basic shooting skill that I learn that I practice as much as I can is, you know, to break from the monotony of how you hold the camera, how you're looking into the camera, and how you're viewing the scene around you. And one of the tools I learned back when we were doing a project for National Geographic on Arlington Cemetery, Rich Clarkson was the director for Geographic. And his thing was, you know, one, he said, the worst weather is going to be your best friend, right? The worst weather, because that's going to create the most dramatic images. You just got to survive the weather. So that's one. And the next one was, you know, break the monotony of how you view things in the world is when you walk up to a scene and you hold up the camera, you're going to know whether that is a horizontal or a vertical shot. It's just going to happen as you put it up to your eye. So if you put it up to your eye and it's a horizontal image, great. You know, shoot the hell out of that. But then take a few more vertically and try to create a great image from it vertically. Because that's going to break you from, this is how I do this, this is how I do that. But it pushes you to think outside of that norm, that box, you know. Turn it. Or you walk up to a scene and you go, that's a vertical shot, right? Shoot the hell out of that vertical shot. But before you leave, turn it horizontally and come up with an image that way. Make it a great image. That's going to push you to not be monotonous, right? And in the lines of vertical and horizontal, it's like, how do I compositionally make my image happen? Is if it's a horizontal shot, this is what I do. I look at that image in front of me and in the camera, and I go, it's a horizontal image that I want on a two-page spread of the newspaper or a magazine. How do I make that fit? So you clean it up to fit that truck. Now, you walk up to somebody and you go, this is a vertical portrait image of some guy's face. Now I'm going to picture that image on the cover of a magazine. You know, where does the title go? Where does all this other crap go? That helps you in your direction of how you approach what you're going to go out and shoot. It's getting to those first couple of shots to get into the rhythm of the environment. That's how you disappear where you're at, and people don't remember you taking pictures, but then you come back with some great stuff.
That's great advice. You know, also having done it for so long, you've seen technology change and grow, and we adapt and change to technology all the time, but can you speak to how important the fundamentals are and whether or not you think they've changed over time?
The tools can change. Like Chip Mary would like to say that the dialects are different and stuff. But the core value, the basic foundation for everything that we teach stays the same. And that's the story. You know, the tools can change to make this or that better. Or your viewpoint can change to make this or that better on how you relay the visuals. But it's all about the same story. How do I produce that so it really stands out and people look at that and go, wow, I want to know more. You know, let's get beyond the imagery now and let me read more about into it. So you're trying to, you know, use everything. Technology, it's really moving fast. It's moving so fast. So a lot of the discussions the staff and I are having right now is how are we going to evolve to maintain relevancy to the kids that are coming in today? So, you know, reaching out and continuing to touch base with who they are, where they're at, you know, what are they doing? That's our challenge to learn. You know, it's not just them. It's us as well. We have to be just as involved as how much we want them to be involved. So it's a two-way street, you know. I mean, if you've been doing this as a career and you're on the back end, hey, get in here, get involved with us, you know. You know, we may have left the service, but the service has never left us.
What is the most important thing that you've learned about storytelling over the course of your career?
here's what I learned about storytelling. So when you start out, it's all about technicals, you know, learning the camera and the gear and what this does, what that does. And then you learn, how do I make it beautiful? You know, how do I make it impactful? So you go through all that. You go through all this training. You shoot. But in the end, it's about, how do I make it tell a story? And it's not just, you know, let's say there's a story happening in front of you. You know, there's like, this is a whole movie scene in front of you, but you're going to cover it in real life, right? That's one way of looking at it. But then you look at that Campbell's soup can, and just that alone, in the way you photograph it, tells a story, how you do it. And that's the art of what we do. It's like, how do we make the tools that we have, you know, artistically convey a story? Everything is a story. There's no way of putting it any differently.
And that's great. Thank you so much for joining us today. Sir, is there anything else you want to talk about before I let you go about the shoot-off?
Yes, shootoff.org.
Shootoff.org, perfect. They can get more information there. It's coming up at the end of the month in March 2026 for anyone who's listening to this. And they are dying for more volunteers, for anybody who wants to participate. Look it up. Come on out. Become a part of this incredible program. Learn more from such amazing professionals that you won't have access to at any other time, right? There's just some incredible people there that are willing to give their skill set to you, willing to give you their time and attention. Take advantage of that as well as they can, I think, is the message. Is there anything else you want to say about the shoot-off or anything else that we can leave our audience with?
Yeah, I just want to close with, listen, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what level that you find yourself in. Just know that there's a home, and we're here. So come on out. Let's meet each other.
I love that. Thank you for all you do, sir. Thank you for being such an inspirational professional to all of us communicators. I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.